Hi, my name is Norm Wakefield, and I'm from the Spirit of Elijah Ministries, and we're here for a series that we've entitled Rising to the Call. We'll be looking at many different ways that God works in our lives through our callings. This may be a new thought to you, the whole idea of a call or a calling of God. Hopefully by the end of this series, you'll be very in tune with that aspect of God in your lives. Before we begin, we want to ask God to give us ears to hear. In fact, that's the title of this message, the very first one in the series, Having Ears to Hear. Because it's, as we're going to see, it's possible to sit here and listen to what God's Word says and still not really hear it. So let's, would you join me in prayer? And let's ask God to give us ears to hear. Let's pray. Father in heaven, You're the one who has made our ears, not just our physical ears, but the ears of our hearts to hear. And Father, I pray that You would, through this series, through this message and the entire series, give ears to hear to everyone who listens. That Father, we would have hearts that are open and teachable. Lord, humble hearts that desire to hear Your word. Lord, I pray that You would enable the truth to move past mental barriers or spiritual barriers that might be in the way. And Lord, You will govern what is said and what is heard. And that, Father, most of all, it'll bring glory and honor to You through the Lord Jesus Christ, who's interceding for us now and who's done the work that we might have hearts to hear. Father, we're very grateful. And now guide us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever wondered about this generation like I have? There's never been a generation, at least I don't think there has been, a generation that's had more conferences that they could attend, more books to read, more Christian music to listen to, more tapes that they could listen to. We're going to add to the pile here this in this next series. More ways to hear and study and learn and know God than any other generation in all of history. There's more available to us. Yet, this, you would think, with all this, these great resources available to us, we would be the most spiritual generation. We would be the generation that's just full of the Holy Spirit, full of revival, that we know God, and the churches would be on fire and alive. But sad to say, that's not the case. It seems that we live in a day where the church is despised, it's looked down on. It's kind of like what Jesus said, it's become like salt that's lost its saltiness, and the world has no use for us. And I think there's a reason for that. You know, we have polls that tell us that maybe 85 to 95% of the people in the United States believe in God. They've heard about God. They've heard about Jesus. I mean, I know some people that when they think about even ministry in the United States, they're almost cynical. Because if they go to other countries, they say there's such a hunger for God. And yet here in the United States, we have so much, yet we don't have a hunger for God. And they would almost, in fact, if they've had these thoughts, I've heard them expressed. You know, I think America's heard enough. They've had plenty of opportunity. It's time to go places where nobody's heard. And I'm sure we need to reach out and go to places where nobody's heard. I think what we're going to look at tonight is going to give us an understanding of why our country is the way we are. It may even explain yourselves. It may explain why you are the way you are. I know I've been convicted. I've had God's Word poured into my life ever since I was a little boy. And yet I'm always amazed at how much I still have to learn. And many things I've heard before, and I still have to admit that I've got more to put into practice. Well, that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about having ears to hear. And this particular lesson, if you'd turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, we're going to look at a very familiar parable. It's one that typically is used to talk about evangelism, but I think we'll see that that wasn't in the Lord Jesus' mind as we look at the line of reason and look and see what the Lord Jesus is doing in this passage. It's very clear what the theme is, and it will become more clear as we go through it. So instead of telling you up front, we're going to go through an exercise here of kind of acting out a situation that will help us understand it. The reason this is so important, especially to us parents, is this. It's We have our children who have been raised in Christian homes perhaps all their lives. And they have heard a tremendous amount of Scripture. They've heard all about Jesus. They've heard the Old Testament stories. They've heard more than they can even begin to recount about the Bible. And we're going to see that this particular parable is the foundational parable to all parables. In fact, all lessons. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 4, verse 13. He said to them, "Do you not understand this parable?" And this is when the disciples had asked, you know, what does this parable mean? The parable of the sower. And Jesus said, "And how will you understand all the parables?" The implication being that if you don't understand the lesson of this parable, you're not going to be able to understand any of the parables. This is foundational. And I think you'll see as we go through this particular lesson here on having ears to hear, you'll see exactly why Jesus said that. This is probably one of the most important lessons that you will teach your children and that we can apply in our own lives. Looking with me in chapter 8 of Luke, you'll notice in verse 4 that a great multitude came together to see Jesus. And it says, "And those from various cities were journeying to him, and then he spoke by way of a parable." Now, if you'll look down at a little part in verse 8, you're going to notice if you have a Bible that has that which is Jesus' words in red and then Luke's commentary in black, like my Bible does, you'll notice a little passage there that's in black that Luke said. And here's what he said. He said, "As he said these things, he would call out, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" That gives us real insight into perhaps the dynamics that we're going on that particular day. And in fact, I'd like for you to enter into them so you can really, it punctuates the theme or the purpose of this lesson. For instance, now instead of looking at your Bibles, if you don't mind just looking up at me, and let's let you be the multitude here, and I want to thank you for coming to be the multitude. You're the multitude, and I'll attempt to be in the place of the Lord Jesus and see if you can't figure out very easy, I think it'll be very easy to do, what the main point of this parable is. Now here you're the multitude. The Lord Jesus says he spoke by way of a parable. And here's what he said. It says, "And the sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell beside the road. And it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Another seed fell on the rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture." Perhaps he pointed over to an example of it. I don't know. But then he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Another seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Another seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Well, that's the end of the parable. What do you think the main point was? The focus is on the listening. The focus is on the hearing. And that's the main theme of this particular lesson. It's having ears to hear. And he's going to continue on now in these next verses and make some startling statements. If you follow with me in the next verses, we'll see that it's possible to see but not really see and to hear but not really hear. And that's a very important lesson for us to learn. Look what he says in the following verses, beginning in verse 9 now, or continuing in verse 9. He says, "And his disciples began questioning him as to what this parable might be. And he said, 'To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, in order that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand.'" Do you see what he's saying there? He's saying it's possible. In fact, there are going to be people who will experience this. They will see, but they won't see. Later on in another session, we're going to talk about this kind of a faith that sees but doesn't see. There are two kinds of faith, and we'll talk about them. And the first kind of faith comes by signs, by seeing. But they really don't see. They just see the physical, but when it comes to the spiritual, which is what that second seeing refers to, they don't see. And it's possible to hear. And I think he has in mind these ears. We can hear with these ears, but not hear with this ear. And that's the most important, hearing. Now, we need to keep this in mind. Think of the importance of this, parents. Consider how often your children are hearing with these ears. And how much they're hearing with these ears. Again, they probably, more than any other generation that's ever lived, are hearing more of God's Word. They're hearing it through all those different mediums that we talked about. So they have a lot to hear. The question is, are they hearing? Are they seeing? Are they really seeing? And so let's continue on in the parable here with Jesus, and we'll notice what he says about the seed in verse 11. He says, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God." As I mentioned before, the Word of God comes to us in seed form, and it comes in many, many ways. Now, let's underscore this. It always comes in seed form. That means you never get it in full fruit. Just because you're hearing it with these ears, that might be the way the seed comes in. If you can think of it this way, I kind of picture the person who sees but doesn't see and hears but doesn't hear. They take the word, or they hear the word, they get the seed, and it comes in these ears and it goes into a seed pouch. And they have seed bags or seed pouches that are just full of seeds. But that's all they are. They're just seeds. And a seed that remains a seed is of no value. It's really useless. The seed has to be planted. The seed has to grow. The seed has to bear fruit, as we're going to see. But notice what the Lord Jesus says. He says here, the seed is the Word of God. And it comes to us in sermons. It comes to us in conferences and conventions. It comes to us through lyrics and music. It comes to us through tapes, books, videos, radio, DVDs, MP3 now. We could keep going on and on. All the different ways that the Word of God comes to us. The sower has many ways to sow the seed. Memorizing Scripture. Parents reading Scripture to their children. A lot of different ways to hear. Jesus now continues by explaining the parable. And he's going to talk about four kinds of listeners. And I want us to consider these four kinds of listeners and see if we can't relate to them. The first kind of listener is in verse 12. And this is what I would call the careless listener. Notice what it says. "And those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved." And you'll notice in this, as well as all the other hearers, this person does hear. We could say, in fact, if you were to ask them, "Have you heard this message?" They would say, "Oh, I've heard that. Yeah. Have you heard about Jesus?" "Yes, I've heard that." "Do you know that Jesus died on the cross?" "Oh, I've heard that." With these ears, maybe. But the question is, have they heard it with this ear? The kind of listener that's mentioned here by the Lord Jesus is what I would call the careless listener. They could care less. In other words, this is a young person or maybe a child that's made to go to church, doesn't really want to go to church, maybe doesn't want to be in family devotions where the Bible is read, really could care less. The only reason they're sitting there with their eyes open and listening with these ears is because they have to. But really in their hearts, their heart could care less, and so therefore they are careless with the seed. Seed comes in, they just take it, stuff it in the bag. They could care whether the seed ever gets planted, whether it ever produces fruit. They don't plan on working with it, it's just in the bag. Yet, they've heard. And the main thing we see here that's a tragedy is that they've heard, and then he says that the devil takes it away so they may not believe and be saved. So we know this is not a person who is saved, but remember this, if you were to ask them if they've heard this, they would say, yeah, I've heard that. I know that one. Well, there's an example of that in another scripture. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, if you'd like to turn there and follow that. It says, "And even if our gospel is veiled," this is Paul speaking, he says, "it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. In other words, the gospel comes to them, and when they hear the gospel with these ears, their mind, and I think that the mind is a part of the heart, the mind is blinded so they can't see. They don't see Christ. They don't see the glory of it. And you know, things don't change us till we see the glory of it. Isn't that true? Have you thought about that? You know, we're not really impacted by something until we see its glory. In this case, they don't see its glory. But then, why are they blinded by the devil? I think it's because they could care less. In this case, he says they're perishing. Jesus said in the parable that they may not be saved. Same category of people, same group of people. That's the careless listener that the Lord Jesus talks about. Have you ever been that before? There have been a time where you could care less? Boy, I can think back in times when I could care less. Maybe I had something else on my mind, or I was a child and I could care less. I was more interested in, maybe as a young person, the girls that were there, or the Bible study, or playing ball later on. I was just thinking about, as soon as this Bible study's over, we're going to go play ball. But sitting there, I heard everything that was said, pretty much. I'd say, oh, I've heard that. In fact, probably if the youth director were to come back the next week and start on the very same Bible message, most everybody in that group would go, you did that one last week. I heard that one. Although I could care less. I at least say I heard it. That's this group of people. Well, look at the second kind of listener there in the next verse, verse 13. Jesus says, and those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, so again, you'll notice they hear, receive the word with joy. They're very emotional. And these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. I call these the overwhelmed listener. They're overwhelmed with the temptations that come up in life. Now, we have this explained later on in Hebrews chapter 6, or another illustration of it in Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6. And if you'd like to be turning there, I want us to think about how we can kind of relate to this. These are people who, they go in, they sit in a sermon or in a message, very much like what you're doing right here, and you may hear a good message. And you hear it, I hope you'll think it's a good message, and you may, you know, kind of go, have an emotion, receive it with joy. Oh, that's good. I can see the value of that one. I really relate to that. Oh, that's a good one. You could taste it. You enter into it in a sense. You embrace it because you can tell that it's good. It's right. On the other hand, as the Spirit of God is here and the Spirit is moving in and through me, through you and those around you, you can actually sense it. You can sense the presence of the Lord. You've been in meetings like that where you could sense God's presence. And it was a joyful thing. It felt good. Can you remember those times? You could just tell, God's here. This is great. Boy, this feels super. Maybe sometime when you're worshiping the Lord and everybody's joyful and they're praising God, and you think, you know what? There's a presence here. God is here. That's these type of people. It's illustrated, as I said, in Hebrews chapter 6. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews said as he's thinking about whether to lay down a foundation for these Hebrews, whether he's going to tell them again about Jesus Christ and Him crucified and about being baptized into Christ and all these main foundational things. He thinks about this group of people that he's writing to, and he thinks, okay, there's two groups of people here. And in the case of this first group, he describes them. Should he lay down a foundation for them? Here's what he says about them. He says, for in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God. Now notice he uses the word tasted twice. They've tasted, he says in verse 4, the heavenly gift. They've tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance. Now, the word repentance is to have a change of mind. It means to think again. It's metanoia. Noia is the word, Greek word for mind, or to think. You're going to have a change of mind, a change of thinking. He says it's impossible to bring them to a change of mind, he says, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put Him to open shame. Now, he's not saying they can't be saved. He's just the whole... that. In fact, that's not even in the context. That's not what he's considering. What he's considering is, why should I lay a foundation for this group? Again, because they've tasted it, not eaten it. They've just tasted it. And they've said, that's good. And if you were to say it to them, what are they going to say? They're going to say, oh, I've heard that. You start telling them about Jesus Christ crucified and being in Christ, and they'd say, oh, I've heard 50 sermons on that. In fact, I've taught that in my Sunday school class. I know that one. There's no way, the writer of Hebrews, he just looks at it and says, you know, there's no way I'm, by going over it again, I'm going to get anywhere with this group. Because they're already going to say, I've heard that. If they're going to be saved, it's not going to happen because we say it again. It's going to take God giving them ears to hear. These kind of ears to hear. Because if they've fallen away, that just means they've heard it with these ears and they didn't hear it with this ear. And he knows he can't get the word into this ear. Only God can do that. So there's no use laying the foundation again for them. So he says, I'm not going to lay it for them because you can't get anywhere with them. And then for the second group of people, they've already believed it and they've heard it with this ear and it's changed their lives. And he says, as he writes later on in this chapter, there in chapter 6, he says, but concerning you, I have better things in mind. I know that you're ready to move on. And so he decides not to lay the foundation, but just to move on and build on that foundation of Jesus Christ. But this is the overwhelmed listener. These are people who have received it with joy. They're emotional when they receive it. They're happy about it. It tastes good. But then a temptation comes up. Now, you've probably had this happen. You know, you're in church and you heard a good sermon and you thought, oh, that's really good. You get out in the car and your wife kind of turns and looks at you and says, you did hear what he said about that, didn't you? What do you mean? Well, I was thinking that you needed to hear that. Did you hear what he said about doing this? The next thing you know, you and your wife are in this argument and you're kind of offended because she started trying to take the scriptures and apply it to you, trying to get you to hear it with this ear. Next thing you know, you're tempted to be angry with her and argue with her and get into a bad fight with her. We're going to talk later on about the difference between a bad fight and a good fight. And I can assure you that's a bad fight. There's nothing good about that one. But you can get in that argument and fight, and the next thing you know, you are silent. She's sitting over there on her side, you're on your side, and you don't talk all the way home because you've had a bad fight. All the way home, you're not thinking about that sermon, are you? You're thinking about how to defend yourself, maybe. How you can argue again and bring up the subject again to make sure you win. Because us guys kind of like to win. Next thing you know, a day goes by, 2 days go by, a week goes by, and we never did anything with the seed. We just took the seed, stuck it in the bag, went out and got in the car, and boom, hit with a temptation. Or maybe you got in the car and the kids are acting up, and one of them gets over on the other person's side. You know how you have lines in the back seat where each one has their jurisdiction? They have their area where they're supposed to sit in there, and one of them gets over and the other one elbows the next one. Next thing you know, they're hitting each other, and you and your wife are turning around going, straighten up now, here's the line, and you're getting angry, and you, again, overwhelmed by temptation. And again, never go back and think about it. The Word of God and what it said. You might be driving down the road, listening to some sermon on the radio, and you thought, oh, that's good, that's good. And all of a sudden, some guy pulls right in front of you. I mean, just cuts in on you. From there, for the next 10 to 15 miles, you're on that guy's rear end and you're thinking about a way you're going to get around him. You're going to pull in front of him and go, yeah, I told you. Of course, you probably don't do it, but your mind is occupied doing it. And you start thinking about that, and what happens to the seed that you got while you were listening there on that radio? Probably nothing. It just went in the bag. And that's went with the rest of the seed. Overwhelmed by temptation. And like Jesus said here, in a time of temptation, they fall away. Can you relate to that? You ever been that overwhelmed listener? I have, more often than I'd like to admit. That's just sometimes what happens. It's the kind of listeners that we can be. You ever seen your children in that situation? Maybe you had family devotions, and right after family devotions was over and God really spoke to them and you used the scriptures to teach them, and they get up from that family devotion time, and within 5 to 10 minutes they have a good argument with their brother or sister. Temptation. They never again think about it. But you know, if you were to ask your children, let's say the next day, you said, "Children, I want to ask you some questions about the lesson we had last night." And you start asking them questions, they probably could answer most of them because they've heard with these ears. If you're not careful, you may find that they fall into the category of having ears that don't hear. They hear, but they don't hear, and they see, but they don't see, because they got overwhelmed. Let's look at the third kind of listener. This is the one that I can relate to the most. Verse 14, "And the seed which fell among the thorns." These are the ones who have heard. Again, you'll notice they have heard. And as they go on their way, would you underline that little, those few little words, "on their way"? If you underline your Bibles, go ahead and underline that one if it's not already underlined. If it's underlined once, go ahead and underline it twice to see if you've really heard it or whatever. It says they go on their way. And they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. These are the occupied listeners. The occupied listener is the person that's, he's got a busy way. He has a way that he does life. He does the same way just about every day. He gets up, he goes on his way, and he has one thing after another. He's got his plan on how he's going to do his day. Well, whenever this listener hears the word of God in whatever way or fashion it comes, they never intend it to change their way. They're just going to keep going on their way. And that's the point. They're so occupied with themselves, so occupied with this world and the way they do things, they never intend to change their way. So they hear the word of God, they get up and go on their way, and as they go on their way, the word just gets choked out. They're so concerned about the worries of that can consume us in our way. They become overwhelmed and occupied with the pleasures, being entertained, the riches. And boy, that is really, that's so true in our country, isn't it? If you've been in other countries, I think one of the reasons that Christians in other countries may have a deeper, heartfelt devotion for the Lord Jesus is they just don't have the riches to be occupied with. We have so much, don't we, in the United States? It's so easy to be occupied with our way. Pursuing, getting our things, getting what we'd like to have, doing what we'd like to do. Let's get this real practical for a moment, because here's how it happens. We go in on a Sunday morning and we go to church and we worship God and we taste and we see and we hear the Word of God, and then we go on our way. We go out, we get in the car, and what do we do next? What is your way when you sit in the car, when you get in the car? I don't know about you, but my way for a lot of my life was to turn on the CD or put on the tape player or turn on the radio just to fill up the empty car, fill up my mind. Maybe that was, I don't know, I just wanted to keep it busy. That's when I felt maybe the most, I don't want to call it comfort, I should maybe put it this way, I didn't feel the pain. I didn't feel the emptiness as long as I'm busy. When my father died at 12, I found that as long as I stayed busy and occupied, I didn't feel the pain. And I got into a habit. My way was to constantly be doing something. If it wasn't playing sports, it might be watching sports. If it wasn't watching sports, it might be thinking sports. If it wasn't that, it was keeping busy, helping and serving and doing things that looked good, you know, for the most part. The only thing was, it was hard for me to be quiet and be still because I felt the pain of my guilt and the pain of my father's death. And so I just, that was my way. And I found even today, I have to catch myself. When God speaks to me, for instance, He's been speaking to me maybe in my quiet time, and I get up from that quiet time, having meditated on God's Word, go out and get in the car, and immediately turn the radio on. Occupied, that's my way. Then I go to work, or I go to the next thing, or let's take that Sunday afternoon, or as soon as church is over, we turn the radio on, get home. As soon as we get home, our way is to have lunch, so we have lunch. After lunch, our way is to watch the ball game. We watch the ball game. After the ball game, our way is to take a nap. We take a nap. After we take a nap, we get up and do this or whatever. And the next thing you know, we have completely used up and occupied the whole day. The question is, what did we do with the seed that we got that morning? What happened to it? Well, it came in the ear gate, went down into the seed bag, and what did we do with it? What happened to it? Well, Jesus says it just got choked out. We just kept going on our way. And I've done that so many times. How about you? Can you relate to this kind of a listener? Got things to do. This is described by the Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth." Now see, that's the very thing. Riches, worries, pleasures in this life that Jesus mentioned. Jesus now says, "Don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Once your treasure is out here in your way, in the way you live, and it's all about here, and it's all about you, that's where your heart's going to go. Instead of the Word of God being, as we're going to see in a moment, kept in the prominent place of our hearts till it works itself out in our lives, we just take the seed and we stuff it in the bag, but we got it, we heard it, it's collected, it's in our library, so to speak, and then we take off on our way, and it never brings forth fruit to maturity. That's the occupied listener, the busy listener. Let's take a look at the fourth kind of listener. In speaking of them, he says, "And the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in a good and honest heart, and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." Now notice this one. I call this one the determined listener. Or I guess we could contrast with the first listener. Remember the first one? First one was what? It was careless. So what's this one? This is a careful listener. He's full of care when it comes to the Word of God. He really wants to watch over it. He realizes how valuable it is. He treasures it. He receives it and hears it with a good and honest heart. And here's the definition of a good and honest heart. He holds it fast. He holds on to it. He doesn't let it get taken away from him. He's going to hang on to it until he gets it. This is what I call the aha. It's where you hear the Word of God and you don't want to just let it go. You've got to hang on to it and think about it and wait till God teaches you about it. And you persevere with it. I found as a teacher, whenever I'm teaching a particular passage of Scripture, I don't want to teach it until I have an aha. Until I get, oh, this is why he said that. Oh, this is what it's supposed to do. Oh, here's how this is supposed to impact my life. Oh, here's what these people experienced. And I got this advice actually from at a preacher's conference that was being held in Florida. And the main speaker was Stephen Olford, great preacher. And Stephen Olford was telling us, he said, you know, whenever you teach a passage, what you want to do is you want to read it, maybe the whole book, 50 times. Until you know the book, backwards and forwards. And once you have the line of reason, once you have the book and you can almost think it, that's when you're ready to preach it. And I remember thinking, boy, that's a lot of work. That is a ton of work to do that. And I can't say that I've always read it 50 times every book before I preached on it. But what I did learn from that was the important thing wasn't the 50 times. The important thing was to hold it fast with a good heart until I did understand it, until I saw the point in it. And so that was a great means of grace to me, because as I begin to practice that, and when I do practice it, I find that as I work with that seed and think about it and read it and read the whole passage over and over again and listen to every verse and think it through, what did that have to do with that verse, and what did this have to do with this verse, and why did he say that, and why didn't he say this? And I start asking it questions. If I will do that and hang on to it, somewhere down the line, God's going to give an aha. It's going, oh, that's why he said that. Or that's what that's supposed to do in my life. That's what that means. And it impacts my life. And when it impacts my life, then I can teach it. Then I say, okay, now I know how to teach this to people to where it impacts their lives. That they're going to listen to it and help them to take the seed and open it up and do something with it, because they can get excited about the Word of God and what it has to say. But I found I have to work with it and have to do it with perseverance. Probably the best of this I've ever seen or read was a man that's dead now. He's a great preacher. His name was D. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Maybe you've read, if you haven't read any books by him, I would highly recommend it. He was an outstanding thinker and theologian. Died in 1978, I believe. But he was probably one of the greatest preachers of the last century. And he was a tremendous student of the Word who took the Word of God and held on to it with a good heart. And with perseverance, brought forth fruit. Well, that's these determined listeners. Good illustration of this is in 1 Thessalonians. The Thessalonians' receptivity, or reception of the Word of God that came through Paul. Listen to what Paul writes to them. Chapter 1, verse 6. He says, "You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything." He says, as we've gone around and went from one place to the next, and this is in his follow-up, he's found out that these Thessalonians, they didn't just hear the Word of God with these ears. They heard the Word of God with this ear. So much so that it impacted their lives. They became imitators of Paul and then went out to sow the seed again with others. These were determined listeners. These were careful listeners. And so that's the fourth kind of listener. But the lesson's not over here. Look in the next verse, in verse 16, because what we see in 16 and 17 is actually good advice on how to listen. If you're going to teach your children how to listen, and you may need to teach yourself. I hope the purpose of this is to teach us how to listen, so we can teach others how to listen. You'll notice what he says here. He says, "Now no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container, or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand in order that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that shall not become evident, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light." This is almost self-evident, isn't it? If you think about a light, why would you turn the light on? Well, you turn a light on because you want to use it, right? You want to see. The whole purpose of putting lights in the ceiling of a room is so the lights will shine on everything, so there won't be anything hidden. There won't be anything that you can't see, because the whole purpose of light is to use it. It's so you can go in the room and actually get something accomplished. Usually when you come into a room, you come into a room for a purpose. We walk into a room, and if we have any purpose of doing anything there, we flip on the light. Well, back in their day, of course, no light switches. They just had a lantern, and they would take the light. It was maybe a clay pot that had a little spout and oil in it, and they would put a wick in it, a little cloth. The oil would soak up in the cloth. They would light it, and they would take this light and maybe hang it from a rope or string from the center of the room so that the light would shine in the whole room. Then they could work in the room. Or they might put it, as he says here, on a lampstand. But one thing you'd never do is take the light and put it underneath a container. That would be ridiculous. That'd be foolish, wouldn't it? Why would you light it in the first place? Waste all that oil, or in our case, electricity, and not use it. His point is, that's how the Word of God is supposed to be. When you get the seed, it's like light. You use it. That's what it's for. And so you take the light, you put it on the lampstand, which is the prominent place in your life, the heart. in your mind. You think on it. You, as it said in the fourth determined listener, he holds it fast with a good and honest heart. He puts it up there so it shines in every part of his life, to where there's nothing, no part of his life that's hidden. So when he hears a sermon and he hears that message, he says, okay, now, oh, let's let the light shine over here in my relationship with my parents. How does this affect my relationship to my dad and my mom? Oh, I see. And he holds on to that until he can see it clearly. Well, how does this affect my relationship to my brothers and sisters? Oh, I see what God's Word is supposed to do to my relationship with my brothers and sisters. I'm supposed to do this. Or how does this, what does this have to do with me and my employer, my boss? What is God's Word that I'm reading and studying here? How should that impact that relationship? Or how about my relationship with my children, with my wife, or with my husband? You see, you take the Word of God, and of course, most of all, with God. You take the Word of God, you put it in the prominent place of your life, and you keep meditating on it until you see how it affects your whole life. That's what Jesus is saying here in this passage. When he says, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over, that just makes sense, doesn't it? Well, what he's saying here, whenever you read the Word, if you want to get any use out of it, just like you want to get any use out of the light, you just don't hide it away. You honor it. You hold it up in a prominent place till you get it, till it speaks to your heart and it makes a difference. Jesus is going to continue on and make a contrast, actually give a warning and a contrast. Look at the next verse, verse 18. After having told us how to listen, taking the Word of God, putting it in the prominent place of our lives and in our hearts, he says, therefore, take care how you listen. There's the main point, isn't it? Isn't it great when Jesus gives the main point? You don't have to guess on it. He just says it very clearly. Take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him shall more be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. The contrast here is between the determined listener and the other three kind of listeners. If you were to put the other three kind of listeners into a group and give them a title or give them a descriptive word here, I would call them deluded. The reason I call them deluded is because they think they have, but they don't have. Now, how could that be? How could they have, but not have? And then there's these people who do have it, and they're going to be given more. How do you know when you have it? And how do you know when you don't have it, but think you have it? Well, there's a good way, and he's going to tell us the answer to that. And it's this. The determined listener, if you recall, he listens until it's bearing fruit. When the Scriptures are changing your life, when there's action that's coming out of having listened to that Scripture, then you have it. You see, it's gone through this ear, it's come into this ear, the ear of your heart. You've held it up in the prominent place. And you said, okay, now what part of my life does this need to speak to? We see that it speaks to this area of our lives. Then we act on that and we change. We do what has been said, what we've read, what we've thought about and meditated on. When we act on it, that's when you have it. And until you act on it, you don't have it. But you remember the lesson that he started off teaching us, that it's possible to see but not see. To hear, but not really hear. Now those people that have seen but not seen, and heard but not heard, do they think they have it? They do. They think they have it just because they heard it. In fact, I wonder how many of you, whenever I said, let's turn to Luke chapter 8, and we're going to have a lesson on the parable of the sower. And you don't have to admit this right here, but you can just think about it. If the thought didn't come to you, I've heard this one. This is not a new story. Oh, I know all about this one, this parable of the sower. That's why this parable is so powerful. Because this is one of the most popular parables probably taught of all of Jesus' parables. Yet, I would venture to say that most of the times I've heard it preached, it's always been on evangelism. And maybe you thought that. I don't know. You probably could teach this one if you knew it was about hearing. But this whole thing is about listening. The parable of the sower is not about evangelism. And you'll notice in this verse, Jesus makes it real clear. Now, I'm not saying that you can't use this for evangelism. I mean, we do need to sow. We need to go out and we need to present the Word of God. All that's true. But that's not the main point. And what makes you think about it this way, what did Jesus say at the beginning? And I mentioned he said back in Mark, it was this, if you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand all the parables? If we were to understand this parable was about evangelism, then that would mean every parable has to understand them. It's got to be about evangelism if we can understand it. That's not it. The point here is this is about listening. It's about how you listen. And the parables, all of them, to be understood, require being a determined listener, being one that's going to receive it with a good heart, good word. I mean, the good word is held fast with the heart until it makes a difference, until it means something. In this case, he says these are people who have heard, and they think they have it, but they don't have it. And this is a stunning warning, if you think about it. It would be an incredible tragedy when those who think they have it taken away. Can you imagine somebody that's been raised up in the church all their lives? They know all these stories about Jesus. In fact, they could be a counselor. Maybe they're a pastor. They maybe have two or three bags of seed. They could even be a theology professor at a seminary. Tons of seed. They may even drive a truckload of seed that they've gotten through the years. But you know, if it's not affecting their lives and it's not doing anything, if it hasn't really impacted their hearts, then they think they have it because they've heard it maybe. Can you imagine on that day when they move out of this realm, the physical realm, into the eternal realm, and they think they're going to go into the presence of all light in Jesus Christ, and they think they have it, and there they move out of this world into eternal darkness, and they live in eternity in darkness with not any comfort from one scripture that was in their seed bag. It's all taken. It's because now there's no bag. There's nothing there. And so they have no comfort for eternity. And they spend that entire time in eternity in darkness. Maybe the great tragic aspect of that is they will feel the weight of their delusion. And they'll spend all eternity thinking about how they could care less, or how they got overwhelmed, or how they were so occupied, they really didn't care for God's Word. And all of a sudden, taken. On the other hand, to those that listen, he says, and have it, he says, more is going to be given to them. That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? And if you'll take the Word of God and listen to it, hold it up fast. Hold on to it tight. Think about it and meditate on it until it brings forth fruit. Next thing you know, you're going to have an aha, and right behind that aha is going to come another aha. And there'll be more insight that'll come. And that's what I've found happens. When you listen to God's Word and you stay with it, and you get, oh, that's why I said that. But once you see that's why I said that, then you have another seed. Now if he said that, I wonder what that means here. Next thing you know, God's teaching you about that. You know, there's a verse that comes to my mind. It's back in Psalms. I think it's in Psalm 97, where it says, light is sown like seed for the righteous. Light is sown like seed for the righteous. You don't get light full blown. It comes to you like seed. There's spiritual connotations to that. Well, this is a pretty severe warning to us. And you'll notice that in these next few verses, it really makes it clear. Look, follow along with me there in verse 19. It says, and his mother and brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, wishing to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. That really sums it up, doesn't it? You see, what he's saying is this. The ones who have ears to hear are the people who hear it, listen to it, and hold it fast until it changes their actions, until it makes a difference in their lives. Does this remind you of any other scriptures? How about the one in James, where James says, don't be merely hearers, don't be hearers only, but what? Be doers of the word. Don't be like the guy that goes and looks in the mirror and he goes, it looks like I need to shave and it looks like I need to comb my hair. Huh, okay. And then turns and walks away and never does anything with it. Why go look in the mirror in the first place? If you never intended to do something once you got in front of the mirror, why bother to go look at the mirror? That was James's point. Same is true with the Word of God. If you don't intend to do anything with the Word of God, you don't intend to use it, why listen to it? Why go to church at all? You know, I think what some people do is they go to church and they've sat through church and they've listened and listened. And they've listened for years. 18 years maybe they'll listen. And somewhere, and this is happening all over our country, they hit about 18 or 19, they go to college, and here's what they've concluded after 18 years sitting in the church listening sermon after sermon after sermon. Just doesn't work for me. Might work for mom and dad, but just doesn't work for me. It must not be true. And they reject it and turn from it. I think the reason they would do that is because they don't realize that it's possible to see, but not see, and to hear and not hear. Maybe nobody taught them that it all has to do with listening. It doesn't have to do with just hearing, it has to do with what we do with our hearts. And if we don't teach that to our children and our young people, I think we'll see this multiplied again and again within the church. We'll lose our young people. We'll lose them when they go to college, or we'll lose them in junior high, or lose them in high school. And we'll wonder, why did they fall away when I taught them everything I could possibly teach them? I know they know the truth. Have you ever heard a parent say that? I know I taught them. I don't know what went wrong. What did they fail to teach them? How to listen. The foundational lesson. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Take care how you listen. Because it's possible that people could see but not see, and hear but not hear. So be careful how you listen. Whenever you listen to the Word of God, you want to embrace it. You want to let it shine in every part of your life and let it produce action in you. That's when you know you have it. That's when you know you've actually heard. Well, in this series, Rising to the Call, you're going to hear a lot. You're going to have a lot of seed that's going to come your way. And the reason I put this message first is because I don't want you to listen to the seed and just stuff it in your bag. But men, you not be any different with your wives. You not love your wives anymore. Not love your children. Your heart hasn't turned more to your children, or your heart hasn't turned more to God. If that were to be the case, that would be a tragedy. That would be the very delusion that Jesus spoke of here. And I have better things in mind for you, a greater hope than that for you. Because God has given us this message. And as we start into this series, and every time you take in seed, I want to encourage you from this time forward to consider that before you go to church, before you sit down and read your Bibles, before you listen to anything, you determine, I'm going to be a determined listener. I'm going to take the Word of God, and Lord, I want you to show me what it has, how it applies to my actions and what I do. Have you noticed that in almost all the parables that Jesus spoke, when it came down to the bottom line, it all had to do with what you do? Like the difference between the sheep and the goats. What's the big difference between the sheep and the goats? It's what they did or didn't do. Or the parable of the man that finds a treasure in a field. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like this. He goes, and what does he do? He goes and sells everything he has and buys the field. It's all about what he does with the treasure. Or the pearl of great price. Again, it's what he did. How can we understand anything if we don't understand this parable? May God give us ears to hear. Isn't that a great prayer? Anytime we sit down to listen, God, give us ears to hear. God, give us hearts to hear. How about if we join together and make that a prayer for this series? Let's ask God to give us ears to hear His call so that we can rise to the callings of God in our lives. Let's pray together. Would you join me? Father, here we are before You. Right now, it's us that are here in this room and listening to this message, and we are in Your presence, and we ask You to give us ears to hear. Lord, there's some that right now, this moment, are hearing this by tape, and they can join me in this prayer. Others that are watching by video, and they can join in this prayer. And right now, ask You, Lord, to give them ears to hear. Wherever we are, whatever time this is, Father, we need You to give us the Holy Spirit that we might hear and hold it fast until You show us how it applies to every area of our lives. And now apply this lesson to every area of our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. And we give You thanks for how faithful You'll be. Amen.